We are straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Valentine's Monday edition of The Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you here. We find ourselves right in the middle of Black History Month, and we are celebrating the music of Bette Davis throughout the morning, the Queen of Funk. We have an important conversation right now, though. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, an artist exhibit was removed from the Wells Fargo Gallery here in town. It was a socially conscious exhibit that was removed right before Black History Month. And the question is arisen now, what kind of art community do we want to be? We brag about being an art colony, but are we? Safe art that doesn't offend? Is that all we want to see that doesn't elicit thought or conversation? Well, that exhibit is back up in a new location, and that artist is with us this morning. So joining us for the conversation this morning is artist Allison Allen. Welcome to the program this morning, Allison.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning and happy Valentine's Day.
A very happy Valentine's Day to you. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm just not a total morning person, so we're liable to have any kind of conversation.
That's okay. You know, most of my listeners will tell you I'm not much of a morning person either, so we're in the same boat there. So the exhibit that was taken down from Wells Fargo is back up at the Neighborhood Congregational Church right here on Glen Erie Street. Is that correct?
I don't know the whole area well, but from what I understand, the address is 340 St. Anne's Drive.
Yes.
But it is, yes, the Neighborhood Congregational Church.
Right. And tell
Laguna Beach.
Tell us about the reception that you're planning there first.
Well, the reception this Saturday, the 19th, and all of your listeners, everyone within earshot, is welcome. It will be from 2:30 to 5 on Saturday, and they're asking me to speak on the exhibit between 4 and about 4:45. And we're very excited to have it at the church space because, Ed, it is such a beautiful venue. And once we put the installation up for a second time, it is in actually three different rooms of the space. So it's in their open hall called Bridge Hall. I believe that's where you can have receptions or meetings. There's an adjoining room that's the library space. And then across their lovely courtyard area, there are pieces up in their sanctuary.
Excellent.
So it's a beautiful backdrop for the very powerful images on the quilt.
Excellent. And we will look forward to this coming Saturday's reception, and I'll continue to remind the audience. And you mentioned powerful imagery, and that's exactly what this exhibit is. It is powerful imagery, and there is a sense of social justice. And to be honest, I was quite embarrassed when the exhibit came down from Wells Fargo and knowing that all of the art galleries that we have in town, that it took a church to reach out and accept this social justice exhibit. Where did your sense of social justice meet your artistic expression as a teenager or as a child?
Well, I have been interested in anything civic and contemporary social issues in my artwork for decades, because I feel like there are so many artists out there who can do beautiful landscapes or do beautiful portraits or do beautiful images of animals. But art can be the vehicle for so many other messages. And I was just drawn to using the medium I finally decided on to coincide with any kind of information I was trying to put out there. And it turns out my particular genre of quilting is now in a niche called information art, because you don't usually expect text on something like a quilt.
Right, right. So you use traditional materials, you create these unique dimensional, it's textile art, quilts, dolls, handmade books of all kind. the exhibit we're speaking of, though, specifically, there's imagery in it that isn't offensive in any way, but it does make you think. It is thought-provoking, and it's conversation starting. Is there a particular piece that you're especially proud of in this exhibit?
Well, I'm especially proud of different pieces for different reasons.
Okay.
Some because of the image, some because the message is conveyed so genuinely, some because of how I was able to spend enough time and do the kind of quilting that I like, and then another piece because I was able to do my dimensional embellishing that I enjoy. So each piece is special to me for a different reason. But overall, the exhibit comes across as what I have been repeating to other people asking a similar question. It's the juxtaposition, the intentional juxtaposition I was trying to create between harsh messages, harsh text, and soft quilted textiles.
Right.
And that's what makes you not able to look away. I think that's what ruffled feathers. The fact that you can ignore these issues every day in the headlines or in the news, but when you walk into the exhibit, they're just in your face. And if you weren't ready to look at them, then it bothered you. It evokes in each individual their personal reaction to the issue. And you said you were embarrassed by the fact that it was asked to be removed. I think so many people in the Laguna Beach community were actually embarrassed by their neighbors, but not as many will actually tell their neighbor that.
Right, right.
Fortunately, so many people reached out that we were invited to break the exhibit up and have it in several different venues in town so it could still be displayed. But we decided on the church because we were able to fit the whole exhibit in the space so beautifully.
Okay. A couple of questions about the type of person that would actually complain about that. So I used to think, and this was a long time ago when I was much less jaded, but I used to think that life is filled with teachable moments. But the type of person that would complain about the peaceful protest exhibit, and that's what it's called, is engaging with them, that kind of person, is engaging with them a lost cause? Is that kind of racism and bigotry unreachable?
I don't know if it's unreachable or if it is dormant right now. Several years ago, when the tide shifted and we had our first African-American president and we were embraced by countries around the world that had hated Americans to that point. I have traveled extensively, and there were periods of time in the 80s and the 90s when you would travel to another country and started speaking, they could understand and realize you were an American and you were welcomed because you were bringing in tourism, but you weren't necessarily embraced because of the propaganda and the news in general that is disseminated around the world about America. But once President Obama was seen genuinely engaging with leaders from other parts of the world, and the leaders were embracing him like they enjoyed the conversation they were having. They were pleased with the leadership. They were experiencing something warm and different from a world leader. It changed perceptions and attitudes in a lot of countries. And then all of a sudden, the following administration came in and they were being pushed out of the way for a photo op, and they were being talked about openly and degraded and whatnot on television, and it was international. and comments were made across the internet, and people felt like, this is disgusting. Right. We don't like America anymore. It's disgusting. So the individuals that crawled out from under their rocks and out of their caves in the past 6 to 8 years who felt it's okay to be rude in public. Look, they're being laughed at and smiled with like we have champions who feel the same way we do, and they're in the forefront of everything that's going on in the country and in the world. So we're right when we say we feel ugly this way. How else? It's like with children. If you demonstrate a certain behavior, children think that behavior is acceptable.
Right.
Kids aren't born racist. They aren't born bigoted. They learn that.
So you bring up... I'm sorry. Go continue, please.
Well, I'm thinking there were a whole group of grown Americans who... It appeared they were given permission to be rude and nasty and selfish and racist. Right. And they were being told it's okay.
Right. So you brought up that fascinating juxtaposition because when President Obama was first elected, we felt this surge of pride. And certainly when he met with international other presidents and leaders from other countries, we felt that pride and they felt a certain sense of pride and America's on the right track. But here at home, you're right. From crawling out from under the rocks, about 30 to 35% of Americans thought, A, it's okay to denigrate our president, and B, as they continued and we had another administration, they found it was okay to act in that way. I'm thinking now when the Black Lives Matter movement started, why do you think that movement is so frightening to those white Americans?
That's a good question, because first of all, Black Americans are not the largest percentage as far as a minority group in America. I think that there are so many white Americans who are so fearful of America, what they call browning, because so many other racial groups have integrated into the country. That's what America is. And the white people who are afraid of that thought that they could make this place into another Europe. They thought each state would be separate, like countries in Europe. And if they decided they wanted to live someplace and they only wanted other people who looked like them to be their neighbors, that could happen in America. That can't happen in America in 2020. 2021, 2022. This is America. Immigrants built the country, and they've been coming into America to make it what was known around the world as the melting pot. So to operate under the delusion that it's wrong for America to continue to embrace people from other countries is backwards thinking. That's the whole concept of America to other countries. When people want to leave their country, they're thinking we're going to America because they're supposed to be built on accepting all of us.
As I was thinking about putting this piece together, I thought back, you and I are about the same age. I thought back to when you were a little girl, or maybe even when you were a teenager. I know that you experienced racism and bigotry then, and I'm wondering, does it make you sad or angry that the undercurrent of racism still exists and possibly even more than it did then?
It's just funny when I think about the whole idea of the exhibit representing protest art, because I had to pick and choose what images I would go ahead and recreate in the textiles, and I was researching from actual marches and rallies and protests throughout the past several decades. And I would see protest signs and want to interpret those images in the textiles. And over and over and over again, it didn't matter if it was a women's rights march, if it was a pride march, if it was an abortion issue march, there were signs that said, I can't believe I still have to protest this.
Right.
And it's across decades. I mean, there were cute ones where they showed people with walkers or, you know, canes.
Right.
And their sign said, I'm still using the same sign. And it was supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek thing, like they marched for that when they were young.
Right.
It just, two steps forward, or one step forward, two steps back. Just too many times in this country, and man will never be truly civilized until there is no war and no hunger. And the 10 or 12 richest people in the world could completely end world hunger.
Right.
So with all the technology that we can boast about and be proud of, as a human race, we're still not a civilized race as human beings.
So I hear almost a sense of hopelessness. Am I right, or are you hopeful in the least bit?
I'm hopeful, and that's why I will create the art. And I was contacted on Facebook and through email and through Twitter by so many individuals who said, do you want us to, you know, do a sit-in? Do you want us to walk back and forth in front of the bank? Do you want us to start a hashtag online? Do you feel victimized? But things happened so quickly when the exhibit came down. I took the pieces out there January 19th. They were installed. That was a Wednesday. By Friday, I got a call from the woman who has been the godsend, I just call her the curator of the exhibit, Faye Baglin. She's between Laguna Beach Arts Alliance and Community Art Project. She's a member of both, and she's the one who's been responsible for putting up the exhibit, for housing it when it was taken down, for transporting it. I mean, Faye has been my boots on the ground. She has been amazing. And for the whole community, she and Pastor Eccles at the church, they are making this happen again for the community and the man who installed the exhibit more than once. And I want to be able, before we get off in a little while, to mention where anybody who's interested in doing any kind of monetary support, they can direct it to the Community Art Project, because they have a budget for when they do installations throughout the year, and it's to pay the gentleman who does the installations. And they had to pay him twice for mine, to put it up and take it down, and put it up and we'll take it down again.
Okay, and we will definitely hit that again before we go. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Allison Allen. A couple of weeks ago, she had her exhibit removed from the Wells Fargo Museum. It's currently back up at the Neighborhood Congregational Church with a reception planned for this coming Saturday. We'll give you the specifics on that in just a second. Okay, so you are more hopeful than I had determined.
I am, and I think that's why I put the messages out there, because as I started to say, when different individuals were bombarding me really with support and asking what I wanted to see happen next, I said, I understand that you're telling me you feel this is a moment when I could speak out or be visible or be more public about what's going on. And I said, that's what my intention was with the art.
Right. Right. That's what
my
art is supposed to do.
My pieces are saying what I want to say.
Right.
I don't feel like I need to, you know, start a fire because it's already smoldering.
Right. So I know you express your cries for social justice in the forms of quilts and the writing that goes on the quilts, the not just the
and
imagery.
I'm determined that it will still be a peaceful protest art exhibit.
Right. So if you could, for a second, when you see a 10-year-old little girl or a 10-year-old little boy, what words do you have for them? What kind of hope can you offer them?
Well, I hope to see children of that age walking through the exhibit with their parents or their grandparents, because I really want the kid to point to the quilt and say, what does that mean? And I'd like it to start a conversation between those generations. And I would like, if the adult is not sure what it means, now they can pull out their phone and instantly Google it, right, and they will learn something as well. Every one of my pieces, like you mentioned, there are other opportunities in life, is a teaching moment. Every one of those quilts is a teaching moment. Any individual who walks through that exhibit, I don't care if you are a Harvard history professor, if you walk through that exhibit, you are going to see at least one piece that's going to give you some kind of information that you may not have had before. And that's the point of the information art. I want you to lean in to try to figure out, is that the fabric or is that something dimensional that you stitched onto the fabric? I want you to question the text. I didn't put in the piece that says question the answers. But that's what I would like you to do walking through the exhibit.
Question the
you
answers.
Think you have the answers, but question the answers.
Excellent. Now, before we head out, I do have a final question. As we see across school districts across the country, in the rearranging of history, what are your concerns about the whitewashing of history in our schools?
I had a piece that I will bring on Saturday. It's called Precious Cargo, and it's an image of a slave ship that shows more than 100 tiny little bodies that I handmade, tiny little one-inch dolls, head to toe, shackled in the hull of a slave ship. And on the other side, the text is from an actual flyer, or it was called a broadside or paybill, okay, that advertised kidnapped Africans for sale. And when that was in a national quilt show in San Jose back in 2012. Some ladies were standing in front of it taking pictures and shaking their heads. Oh, that's so sad. And I was the white glove hostess in that aisle of the quilt show. In a national quilt show, I'm never afraid to mail my stuff to any quilt show because they have volunteers in every aisle of the quilt show that make sure no one touches any of the quilts. The quilts are not supposed to be touched, because if 100 people touch a piece of fabric, after a while you'll see the oils from their fingers on the fabric. So I stepped up and I said, you're saying that's so sad. Do you have any questions about the quilt? They said, I know it's supposed to be part of our American history, but it's very sad. I said, do you remember any of that from your high school American history class? They said, well, it was kind of glossed over. We don't really remember that kind of detail. I said, do you think you'll remember this quilt? They said, oh, yeah. And we took pictures of it. So if there's something we're trying to tell someone else, we'll be able to show them. So when a quilt makes you want to stand in front of it, it evokes an emotion, or any piece of art, when you want to stand in front of it a few seconds longer, it evokes an emotion other than joy or sadness or confusion. But it's making you feel something and making you think about something. Then I think that the artist has succeeded in conveying even some part of what they were experiencing when they were trying to create it. And when you're talking about what's happening in schools now, they're one of the pieces that I think was considered so controversial was the one that has the initials GOP on it. I think people were so afraid of that because they felt it was a direct hit to their party or their beliefs or their vote. And they can't really justify the undoing of decades of civil rights action for voting in the South that's being undone now.
Right. 18 states across the country have changed voting to make it more difficult to vote.
For censoring what books can be allowed in the history classes and on the English literature list. I mean, things are happening because a few years ago, the administration really championed, let's go back to the good old days. Bottom line, that's what that message was. And they're trying to continue, that party is trying to continue with that message. I do not think that more than a handful of individuals complained when the exhibit was up at Wells Fargo. I don't really know if it ever went all the way to corporate. I was expecting that they would ask me to remove the two or three edgiest pieces. I did not expect they would ask us to take down the whole thing. They are deciding what the Laguna Beach community will or will not see as far as art. And they are in control of that because the bank let them control that. And the other members of the Laguna Beach community decided, no, you don't get to decide if we get to look at this for ourselves. And I created a new piece, very small, right at the entrance of the exhibit at the church now, that is specifically about censorship. Excellent. And it says, burn the books, ban the movie, hide the art, deny your choice and silence your voice.
You've opened up
the bank was trying to do. That's what the message was, and it was from the group of individuals that the bank felt were more valuable customers and community members than the entire rest of the community.
You've opened up an important conversation into exactly what kind of community we want to be in. As I mentioned when we opened this, we brag about being an art colony, but are we really if all we want is safe art that doesn't elicit any thought or conversation?
And you know what, Ed, when you come into Laguna Beach on Highway 133, both sides of the highway, art schools, galleries, studios, all the way into town, public art on the streets, all the way into the center of town, big giant arts festival signs for the gathering that you guys are famous for in the whole state of California.
Right.
So this really, the community, I'm glad, did not want Wells Fargo's actions to leave that bad taste in the mouth for the whole state of California. And it's really wrong for that tiny, tiny group of individuals to dictate what they thought was going to be displayed and not displayed in your community. I am so glad the rest of Laguna Beach had their act together enough to show they are receptive and open-minded and forward-thinking and mature and not intimidated by a piece of artwork.
This amazing exhibit is at the Neighborhood Congregational Church. The reception is this coming Saturday, and you're speaking at 4 p.m., is that correct?
Yes, okay. And I did, again, want to mention anyone who thought that they wanted to assist us in any way. They've been asking me over and over online, please direct any monetary donation to the Community Art Project, because they are the ones who literally pay to house the art, store the art, put it up, have someone take it down, all of that. And so anything that you're interested in, I don't need it. The cap and Laguna Beach Arts Alliance already took care of me. I just need to make sure that this doesn't cut into their budget, having to handle my exhibit from start to finish twice.
The artist is Allison Allen, and we thank you so much for being with us this morning. We know the community will support you at the Neighborhood Congregational Church, where the exhibit will be shown. Thank you so much for this most important conversation, Allison.
Thank you very much for inviting me on, and I wanted to thank Dan from the newspaper and Susan and Pastor Eccles from the church, and definitely Laguna Beach Arts Alliance and CAP and Faye Baglin for all of their support. I hope to meet all of your listeners at the reception on Saturday, and you have a great rest of your day.
Allison Allen, thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
8:31 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.